Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. A subject to you today over the next 60 minutes that, well, in a sense, we've beaten to death. Food. Everybody's got an opinion about food. Even people who know nothing about food have opinions. It's so vital, of course, that you can't afford not to have some conception of what you put in your body. And that's not really where the confusion is. The confusion along the lines of, what food do I eat? Which diet do I choose? Which food philosophy do I ascribe to? I really think is not the point. The point is, and this is where science can play and make a wonderful contribution, not the art and opinion or social taste or social commentary, but the science can come in here under the dome of the word enteric nervous system. The enteric nervous system. I want to give you today, over the next 60 minutes, a functional understanding of how we can translate the science of what's going on in the gut to your food choices. There is a brain down in the gut, the small intestine that absorbs, assimilates, or doesn't absorb and assimilate the foods that you choose to eat. And there's an entire chemistry between that intestinal tract and your brain and that intestinal tract that really the highest level of health demands that you refine. The brain-gut connection is an evolution. It's just not there, and we identify it. The brain-gut connection, how you evolve you through food, is really what health is about. Well, we got to start with digestion. And when we can recall all the little fun facts, like 80% of the immune system lives in the digestive tract. Our digestive system is our first line of defense. If you can't digest it and you can't assimilate it, all the building blocks are going to fall down, or they're not going to get put together at all. So when we're talking health and you're looking at your repertoire, your portfolio of symptomologies, the ones you've always had and the new ones, the first place you inevitably have to go is digestion. And the first place you go after you go to digestion is into that confusing, crazy world of how do I eat with all these conflicting opinions. Now, we can solve this. You can solve this for yourself even today if you absorb deeply what the enteric nervous system fundamentally is all about. And functionally, meaning how you should leave this show today over 60 minutes and start to function differently, is about understanding that you're evolving your second brain as it relates to the signals that the foods you ingest give you and how those signals will change as you eat different types of foods. You want to go to the gut, your intuitive sense of food, and evolve that process. But this is a biochemical process, and that's the slant on the show. I want you to understand the neurology, or I should say the neuroanatomy, and the chemistry, all the different chemical changes that occur in a gut that's functional versus a gut that's not. When you see people as a doctor with irritable bowel syndrome, with Crohn's disease, with ulcerative colitis, with gastritis, with parasitic infections that can't heal, And when you listen to the stories of these peoples over 10, 20, 30 years, looking for solutions, looking for the right diet, looking for the right drug, looking for the right whatever, the right anti-parasitic drug to fix their leaky gut syndrome, their Crohn's disease, their ulcerative colitis, invariably, I have rarely seen anything to the contrary. 99% of the time, you're talking about someone that has no relationship with their gut. Meaning the give and take of the nervous system from the brain to the gut and from the gut to the brain is something they're not listening to. They have no relationship with. And you see this mistake then in their ability to choose their foods. So your brain is sharp. Your brain is evolved. Your brain is trained to the rigors, and demands of evolving relationship with food, and you're healthy or you've checked out of the process. Now let's turn this into chemistry. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. As always, we try to teach through pictures. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc. If you're driving, when you get home, get to the website. If you're listening, I certainly hope you're on the website. You've got to get to the pictures. All right, the enteric nervous system. I put a beautiful article on today. The top of those pictures you're looking at. Click to view the full article on the neural crest and development of the enteric nervous system. I put the first page of that article on page number, did we get our pages number today? 4-8, picture number 10. Go to picture number 10. That's the first page of the article up top. And that says the neural crest, and development of the enteric nervous system. Again, press Control Plus again if you want to make that picture bigger. Okay? Now look at that second paragraph, the enteric nervous system. The enteric nervous system contains more neurons, that's nerve cells, than the spinal cord. That is phenomenal in its significance. The enteric nervous system, meaning the nerve cells down in the digestive system, in the digestive tube, contain more neurons, more nerve cells, than your spinal cord. That is absolutely unbelievable. What are those neurons doing there? And the reason I put this article on is because when you study embryology, meaning sperm meets egg, you've got 2 cells, 4 cells, 8 cells, 16 cells, blastula, gastrula, the evolution of the embryo. But in its very early stages, you separate the little embryo into 3 layers, mesoderm, endoderm, and ectoderm. Ectoderm, the layer of germ cells that ultimately becomes brain and spinal cord, is ectoderm. That ectoderm grows into your gut. Outside of your brain, you have more ectoderm, more embryological evolution of brain into the gut than you do the spinal cord. I mean, the significance of that is massive. It is absolutely massive. And you see so many failures to thrive because that brain and that nervous system planted down in the gut are not communicating. Now, we put this under the guise of what we call the enteric nervous system. And that enteric nervous system is mediated, of course, through the vagus nerve. And I've talked about the vagus nerve many, many times. That vagus nerve, of course, is there to take the condition in the gut, what's going on in the gut, all the volcanic forces of nature, the churning, storming, exploding, myriad of chemical events in the gut. That vagus nerve is there to sense it and send a message up to your brain so that your brain can process that message and then send a message down into your gut again to tell the gut what to do. Now, that to and fro is really one of the arms or limbs of what we call the enteric nervous system. And if that's not done properly, then the brain flips out. So that whatever's going on in the nervous system, down in the gut, goes up to the nervous system, goes up to the brain via the vagus nerve, and instead of the brain processing it correctly and calming down behind it, it sends excitatory messages down into the gut. Instead of, it's all okay. So you go out and you have your Taco Bell experience. You eat some form of American junk. And your nerve sensors down in the gut pick up these signals. These inflammatory signals, since you're trying to digest, well, what's effectively not even food. And the brain, instead of calming down to that, decides to flip out. And instead of sending calming signals down, it sends excitatory signals. Those excitatory signals stimulate the immune system. And once that nervous system is stimulated, once that immune system is stimulated, this myriad of chaos ensues. Now, we're going to explain all that biochemically. But when we talk about the enteric nervous system and how your gut has a brain, it's basically the second brain because of all this neurological wiring. This fundamentally is what we're talking about. Now, we're going to get to the chemistry, but skipping all the chemistry, let's get to the results. The result, irritable bowel syndrome. The result, I don't know what to eat. The result, everything I eat bloats me and I don't know how to dig my way out of this. The result, colostomies. The result, Crohn's disease. The result, ulcerative colitis. The result, leaky gut syndrome. The result, consistently, a defect in the intestine to the brain and the brain to the intestine. Forgetting that, which is what we do, we forget it. We forget that our commitment to our health is to evolve relationship with food, to use food as a stimulus to create pleasure in the brain. And so the brain can send pleasure down into the gut. And we have an evolving, refined reciprocity between brain and gut that gives us health instead of inflammation. And this is what we're missing. We're not doing this. We're not doing this well, or we wouldn't have the types of illnesses we have. When people come in and they're sick and they have problems and they want to bypass this process and just take the herb, you know what the herb is? The herb is another irritant to the body. The herb is not a curative to the body. The herb is barely therapeutic to the body, and that includes digestive enzymes. Try a pill or two of hydrochloric acid sometime when your enteric nervous system isn't in order and see what you get. They'll just go in and create more inflammation. And people spin this way because everybody's looking to fix the symptom instead of going to the gut. Just getting that, understanding that, is your way out of jail. Let's take a look at some pictures. Love the pictures, don't you? Let's take a look at some pictures. All right, my My tech, unfortunately, did not number the pictures. I don't understand why that's not been completed. Just bear with me. Picture number one. Now, just take a look at this picture. Again, we're going to read left to right. So just pardon the inconvenience and bear with me. Picture number one, the brain in your gut. Great picture. Enlarge it. Make it nicer for yourself. All those yellow fibers that you see connecting from the outer layer to the inner layer. All those yellow fibers, that's nerve tissue. That's coming off spinal cord. That's brain, basically. That's the brain in your gut. And as it says in the top, the gut's brain, the enteric nervous system, is in sheaths, layers, lining the esophagus, the stomach, small intestine, and large intestine. And you've got different layers, submucosal, myenteric, the lumen, so on and so forth. That myenteric plexus, by the way, left side in the middle, that myenteric plexus is where the muscle is in the intestine. Remember, the intestine is a muscular wall. It's got to be an elastic muscular wall. Why? That's what moves the food. Peristalsis. But that peristaltic activity is regulated by those yellow nerves. So those yellow nerves are picking up signals, and those yellow nerves are transmitting signals. The balance between the two, the autonomic balance, a word I can use for those of you who listen. That balance between the parasympathetic and the sympathetic fibers regulates motility. And that motility, if it's on the wrong side, you're going to cramp. If it's on the other side, it's not going to move at all. So you can be constipating, you can have diarrhea, constipation, back forth between the two. The tone, we say, tone, the tonicity of the bowel wall is not being properly regulated. The excitatory fibers versus the fibers that cause that myenteric layer to relax, that balance between the two is off, so the tone, the tonicity is off. That's one aspect of it, the motility, the peristalsis of it. And what about the chemical process? Well, you guys know hydrochloric acid from the stomach, bile, the pancreatic enzymes to liquefy the food. But there's a lot more involved than that. The brain-gut connection is a little bit more involved. When we say the brain-gut connection, let's do this through a picture, another great picture. Let's go and take a look at it. Didn't get on. How could that be? That brain-gut connection is mediated through an all-important hormone called cholecystokinin. Now, cholecystokinin is secreted by cells on the inside of the small intestine. And those cells are first initiated by nerve cells. Nerve cells that are extensions of the vagus nerve sensing the food and sending messages into the cells of the small intestine so that they can secrete into the lumen, the space in the small intestine, this all-important hormone called cholecystokinin. If you go to picture number, again, left to right, 1, 2, 3, 4. The second row is 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15. So 1, 2, 3, 4 rows down, third one in from the left. Take a look at that picture. time entering the duodenum causes duodenal enteroendocrine cells to release cholecystokinin and secretin. So there's a picture that kind of says it all. There's a picture that's basically saying that once the food is liquefied through the digestive enzymes, you get this secretion from the cells on the inside of the intestine, and that secretion will have this cholecystokinin and the secretin. And you can see it, the little yellow dots are this hormone called secretin, and the red dots are CCK or cholecystokinin. And if you look at the picture, cholecystokinin induces the secretion of enzyme-rich pancreatic juice. So food gets in, CCK gets secreted, the pancreas responds to it and floods amylase, lipase, and protease into the lumen of the intestine. The same process causes the pancreas to secrete bicarbonadiene, HCO3. This is where the acidity now of the stomach is starting to become the alkalinity of the first parts of the small intestine. The duodenum is starting to alkalize because of the bicarbonate secreted by the pancreas. The GI tract is interesting. The stomach is acidic, obviously. The duodenum starts to get alkaline. By the jejunum, it's more alkaline. And we have this increasing alkalinity because of this bicarbonate ion secreted by the pancreas. And then when you get into the large intestine, well, now you're going to go acidic again. When those pHs in the intestines go off, you got big problems. That's when your pathogens start growing. So this chyme causes the enteric nervous system, your second brain, to perceive that something needs to be done to digest, and the message goes to the pancreas, CCK and secretin get secreted. And of course, all of this is mediated through what? Through the vagus nerve. It's mediated through the vagus nerve, which is cranial nerve 10, which is a parasympathetic nerve. And don't forget about bile. Bile off the back of one of these hormones, secretin and CCK, bile starts flooding in as these two hormones cause the gallbladder and the liver to contract and at the same time relax its ducts. So you didn't get your bile at the right quantity into the intestinal tract. You won't if your vagus nerve isn't functional, if your parasympathetic nervous system isn't on it. If it's sympathetically dominated, you can have all the bile in the world. It's not going to drop into the duodenum. You're not even going to get your CCK digestion. So you can grasp then the deep, deep, profound importance of being able to relax when you eat. Now that's for openers. When you relax when you eat, you also sensitize yourself to even more important information, like the differences in the way those foods, help your body, affect your body, the subtleties. Now that's an evolution. When you begin in the confused state of should I be vegan, should I be vegetarian, should I be a meat eater, does raw food help, does raw food hurt, so on and so forth. When you begin in the confusion, in your illness, in your confusion with your doctors and your authors and your news articles and your health magazines and everybody attaching to a different dogma, or what unfortunately degrades to dogma, you're in kindergarten when at the end of this pipe, what you're supposed to be doing is catching the difference in your body between fish and chicken, or chicken and meat, or the way you mix them, or raw versus cooked. And those informations are there. They're there. And that's why we have more neurons in the intestinal tract than we do in the spinal cord. But if you're lost in stage one, you're never going to get there. If you're spinning in stage one, you're never going to get there. And all the herbs and all the therapies, none of them will really evolve that intelligence. So what do? You take in what I'm saying more deeply into yourself. You work on it like a problem. Just that you know to listen is new. Then you might take little helpful hints, like chew your food more, like eat by yourself. Take that quiet part of the day and eat by yourself and chew and taste your food. You might just take up what it takes to learn to prepare your own meal. You just might pick up a cookbook, a raw food book. You see, it's your passion that leaves you sick, your lack of it. And you watch this with people. They start with food, and you can see right off the bat, they've got no relationship with it whatsoever. They don't like making it. They just, in the famous maxim, they eat to live. That's it. Versus they live to eat. Is food a passionate, sensual, joyful experience where you take the time to purchase, to procure, to track down foods that bring you bliss? That eating can be pleasurable. Why are we getting so complicated about illness? If people had that down, 80% of all the illnesses in the world would cease to exist. So you've got to go deep with these messages. But there's a chemistry there. That vagus nerve, that's your bliss fiber. If that vagus nerve isn't transmitting at the right frequencies because it's competing with your sympathetic nervous system, you're not going to be able, your brain will not process the subtleties of food, let alone give you enough bile or cholecystokinin or amylase, pancreatic enzyme, or hydrochloric acid, or whatnot. And these are all studies that have been done. They're on invariably my other shows. How the sympathetic nervous system, the counterpart to the vagus nerve, can stultify, can stop dead in its tracks the secretion of your digestive juices. That's old hat for you, I'm sure, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the subtleties of health that will give you a healing and pull you out of the hole. And that begins when you start to enjoy and evolve relationship with food, and you start to feel the differences. Take a look at a few more pictures here. Let's take a look at, again, bear with the numbering system here, 4, 8, picture number 9. That's the colorful picture. That colorful picture is green and red. It's picture 9. That's a fluorescent shot. Those green fibers are the connection of the nervous system into that. Look at how complicated that is. Look at how invested that is. Your digestive system is an electrical field. Now, that's how it's supposed to go. What happens when it doesn't go that way? What happens when things start to run amok down there? Well, if you go to picture number 14, that's 4, 8, 12, 13, 14. So fourth row down, second one from the left. Picture number 14. If you take a look at that picture, what you're going to see is the bidirectional gut-brain axis. And that's the ability of the brain to influence the intestinal microflora. That has to do with GABA. So we've got GABA, we've got the intestinal tract, and we've got the gut. Now here's another relationship. And that relationship is about a neurotransmitter called GABA. So let's talk about GABA. GABA aminobutyric acid. GABA is secreted in the gut. GABA is also secreted in the brain. GABA's purpose, we say it's an inhibitory neurotransmitter. It calms things down. Now, why do you need to calm things down in the gut? Because the gut is a war zone. The gut is an interaction between hundreds and thousands of chemicals, forces of nature swirling, storming, heating, calling 80% of your immune system to the process to witness, control, and supervise. And then add to that genetically engineered food, pesticide-ridden foods, outside invaders, pathogens, bacteria, horrible microbes, you name it. It's all going down in the gut. Our evolutionary tendency is not to relax to the bomb, to the bolus of food we stuff down our throat without chewing usually. Our tendency is to go into nerve shock. So if you're going to shrink yourself down and get in there and look at the war zone, all quiet on the Western Front, I don't think so. This is a war zone. And that's GABA's purpose. GABA's purpose is to be secreted to slow down what will otherwise be a sympathetic dominant response to the bombing that the inside of your intestinal tract takes all day long. Now that's mediated, again, through the vagus nerve. And the brain knows GABA. And GABA is, in a sense, an endorphin. It feels good to eat. It feels good to digest a good meal. And the cultivation of that process, again, is very GABA-mediated. And the tendency is to go counter-GABA, away from GABA. Why the tendency? Because it's a war zone down there, made worse yet by everything that we do today, especially modern tech. Now, there's another chemical you've got to add to the game. But you see, there's a relationship between GABA and the microbiology down there of the probiotics. The probiotics and GABA do a dance with each other. And the chemicals that the probiotics secrete, won't get into that today, outside of this relationship with GABA and the brain, so we're introducing probiotics, GABA, and brain. The GABA is produced by the endocrine cells that line the intestines. The GABA is produced up by inside the brain also. But it's dancing with the probiotics. And the triage are allowing you to kick back, smile, and say, ah, that meal was good. Ensuring you the chemical flow of what the probiotics produce The probiotics control your mood as much as you control your mood. To have the probiotics, in accord with GABA, in accord with your vagus nerve, in accord with your brain, in accord with your endorphin system, is to say, I saw that food, I knew that food was mine, I tasted it, and I felt my body get stoned. I felt my body relax. I felt my belly soften. I felt my chi in my intestinal tract. I felt the effect of that food. I knew I needed more of it. I've started to get up each day like a pregnant woman, knowing exactly what, where, who, how, when, and how much, and that could change in the flash of a second. And that ensures you that the probiotics in your gut are pumping its chemicals, its happy chemicals, its physiologically beneficial chemicals, its immune system fighting chemicals into your bloodstream. See, God had it all worked out. Now, what we're reducing it to, which is okay, is did you get your flora? Did you take your digestive enzymes? Are you counseled as far as what the right diet is for you? Did you get your food allergies tests? This is not cutting it. It's not. Forget the allopaths. I'm referring to nutrition across the board. The argument nutrition makes with all these parameters and all these perspectives that drive you nuts because they're all contrary to each other. And everybody's got great research to back it. And what can you make of it, the public, who don't understand enough of the science, nor do you have enough direct contact with these various types of opinions to really make an evolution, let alone when you're sick and you can't even get up to wash your own dishes or make your own food. So I'm asking you to save yourself a lifetime of agony and start to create relationship with food such that the food will make you happy. How do you do that? You take in what I just said more deeply. That's another thing in our culture. Where's the book? What do I do? Not, did you absorb deeply enough so that you can follow the cues from your body so it will lead you to do what you're supposed to do? Pregnant women don't have to read books. Unless, of course, they're your modern techno mom. And then maybe it's gotten that bad. But outside of that, that royal time in a woman's life where she's about to birth her prodigy is a time where nature takes over. The true creative force of feminine takes over. And all of a sudden, she's intuitive. Stick to that. Stick to that because it's blissful, and bliss will lead you out of the hole. So just a little bit on GABA for you. Very, very important to understand. Take a look at leptin. Leptin, L-E-P-T-I-N, leptin. Again, from the top, you got to go down. 4, 8, second row, third row, fourth row, fifth row, first one on the left. Fifth row, first one on the left. 1, 2, 3, 4, that's 16. That's picture number 17 then. Fifth row down, first one on the left. So look at that then. Hunger, satiety, leptin. The fat cells that are sucking in that food, even if you're skinny, you have fat cells. They're just not plump. But those fat cells are taking nourishment. And before they get fat, they're secreting leptin. The leptin's going up to the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is telling you through other parts of your brain that you're happy, that you have satiety. That's what leptin does. If the brain receives it, if you're leptin resistant, and of course, what makes you leptin resistant? Insulin. That means that the carb high that you so intensely crave has a limitation. And the limitation is it takes you to insulin resistance, where you can't get the kind of satiety you get when you eat butter, when you have a raw chocolate mousse, when you have raw ice cream, when you enjoy the DHAs, the docosahexaenoic acids, the omega-3s in fish. The word satiety. Satiety. Honestly, satiety is the zone. In satiety, people neither starve nor yet obese. In satiety, leptin is sent to the brain understands it, and it turns off your hunger. And yes, leptin resistance. Why insulin's high? Why we're carb addicted? So we lose that pleasure sensation. We lose the sensation of satiety. Just like we lose the sensation of the runner's high. Get up in the morning, have your breakfast, get to the gym, to the track, to the hike, to whatever you're doing. Sweat, pound, jump, lift, roll, swim, 60, 75, 90 minutes. And get those endorphins pumping. Drink your water until you're hungry. And note, between the time you finish your workout to the time you eat your food, you're high. You're high on the endorphins you produced because you move your body. Now, if you don't spike your insulin with your next meal and you eat the right amount of fat, and the right amount of fat is the fat that brings satiety, the raw fat, the fat you can digest, and you wait for your satiety, guess what you just did? You burned your fat while you exercised, you created your endorphin, you shut off your appetite until the endorphins of motion start to wear thin, and then you ate your meal to satiety. That is another chemically mediated process. That satiety is off the leptin. GABA, leptin, down with insulin, up with endorphin. You are all these things. Pet your probiotics. Stimulate your probiotics to produce more endorphin. Look at picture number, again, one down, two down, three, four, fifth row down, third one in. Here's an interesting one. When you eat, it's fifth row down, third one in from the left. When you eat, it takes time for nerves in the upper digestive tract to signal the hunger center in the hypothalamus to temporarily turn off. Do you know what that means? Eat when you're supposed to eat. In other words, eat when you're hungry, but not starving. Have you evolved relationship with your body so that you can understand that? Have you evolved relationship with your body so that you can understand that? And if you have, you're going to eat more slowly. Because if you get yourself into a hypoglycemic state and you stuff your belly full, and we all know that feeling, we're stuffing the belly full because we got so voraciously hungry with insulin, no less, that won't bring satiety. Yeah, you'll make some serotonin. It's a short-lived ripoff next to satiety. Satiety takes a little time. So it's like if you're going to eat the full hamburger, eat half of it and wait. If you're going to eat the full load of whatever you're going to eat, eat half of it and wait 20 minutes. Because the chemical modulations take a little bit of time. And of course, when this process starts to go south, we begin to inflame in the intestinal tract. Why? Well, let's look at some of the pictures of the inflammation first. Go down one row, two rows, three rows, four rows, five, six, seven, eight rows, nine rows down. Second to last row, nine rows down. Nine rows down, left to right. Those are pictures from the inside of the intestines, inflamed. They're supposed to be pink, not red, and not red plaques. You don't even know to blow those up. You can just look at the whole row. That's what we begin to do when we don't do these things. When we don't give our food experience bliss, we inflame. We ulcerate. We infect. And that's the beginning of the Crohn's. It's the beginning of the leaky gut. It's the beginning of the ulcerative colitis. If you take your cursor down to 6 rows down, the second one in. 6 rows down, the second picture in. Take a look at that picture. 6 rows down, the second picture in. Again, sorry that these things are not numbered today. Now look at that evolution there. The small intestine. And then they take a piece out. And you see the word villi. And then you see the word epithelial cell. And then we blow up an epithelial cell. Now, if you look at the picture just to the left of that picture. Actually, I have an even better one. Go one row down. So, from the bottom, the first row up. From the bottom, the first row up. Blow that picture up. It's a single villi. Take a look at that picture of an individual villi. So you can get it a number of ways. You can either start from the top and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you can go 7 rows down or the second row up. Either one. To get to that picture, blow that picture up. Now look at that. An individual villi. Those villuses are made of individual cells. And when those individual cells that absorb your food, when those individual cells begin to inflame, begin to attract globs of immune system cells because you're inflamed, because you're not getting the right GABA and endorphin, because you're not getting the leptin, because you're not getting the endorphin of satiety, because it's one big insulin-ridden mess, inflammatory mess, when you're not getting that, those cells in the individual villi inflame. And you start going red. Let's look at this a different way. I have a brilliant picture here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rows down, the third one, fourth one in. 6 rows down, all the way to the extreme right. Now look at that. That's an individual villus. That must be magnified with an electron microscope 40,000 times. That's 6 rows down, all the way to the right. That's an individual villus. And you just think of that. Soaked, completely marinated. Pour water on it in your mind. Submerge it in liquid. That's what's sucking in your food. And that villus is composed of even smaller cells that I just showed you a moment ago. But if you begin to inflame that villus, the plural being villi, If you begin to inflame that villus, those cells open the spaces in between each cell. That's what you call leaky gut. That's not a happy villus. That's not a blissful experience. That's when the bile's not flowing, and the enzymes aren't flowing, and the HCL's not flowing, and the probiotics are not there, and you're in sympathetic dominant stress. So your enteric nervous system is cockeyed, and you're not getting your GABA released, and your GABA is not creating a calming effect during the insanity of digestion, and then you're leptin resistant, so you're craving more carbs and on top of the insulin anyway, and you're fat deficient, and this whole process becomes negative reciprocity, and that individual villus inflames. And then we bring our immune system to balance and counter the inflammation, and the inflammation is in the form of the cytokine. The macrophages are making cytokines, and the cytokines are pro-inflammatory. And you go into a negative reciprocity, and you're wondering about your Parkinson's and your Alzheimer's and your cancer and your IBS and your joint pain and the rest of it. And people are throwing out words like you have to improve your digestion. If you're not understanding the relationships here, if you're not understanding that food is to create bliss by educating yourself about the process, so that you can refine yourself increasingly over time, you will not be able to dig your way out of it. If digestive enzymes fixed the enteric nervous system and its imbalances, there wouldn't be a sick person on the planet. If diets and food choices fixed this, we'd be out of this hole tomorrow. There are enough people doing digestive enzymes. There are enough people eating correctly. There are enough people doing the right things. What you lack is perspective. You're not understanding, and you must understand, that food, the purpose of food is to create pleasure. It's very simple. Once again, it's simple things are sitting right on the tip of your nose, and you can't see them, and that is why you fail. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Tomorrow, I'm going to do another class. We're going to get into exercise. We're going to get into all the various denominators of it. We're going to talk about burst training. We're going to get into the science. We're going to get into the art. We're going to make it functional. I've got two, maybe three spaces. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. And we're going to go for 7 or 8 straight hours. Now they tell me the numbers are on. Great. I hope you figured it out before I did. The numbers are finally on. Tomorrow's class on exercise. The ins and outs, the ups and downs of how to do it correctly without hurting yourself. The science, the art. Be there. You can't get the stuff out of books. I guarantee you that. So the inside of that digestive tract inflames, and those villuses get angry, and the food gets into the blood partially digested, and then the immune system sees it and attacks it. And so you eat and you feel sick. You eat and you feel weak. You eat and you have pain. You eat and you cramp. And one day you wonder where all the plaque came from, or where all the neurodegeneration came from. And people tell you, don't eat grains, or do eat grains, and don't eat meat, or do eat meat, and eat raw meat, and don't eat raw meat, and don't eat raw fish, and don't eat fish because of the mercury, and you spin, and you spin, and you spin, and you spin, and it just feeds your sympathetic dominant nervous system, and you're sick to begin with. Maybe you've lost 50, 60 pounds. Maybe you're 100 or 200 pounds overweight. And everyone's throwing different opinions at you on top of a process that is inherently chaotic anyway. You get my point. I know you do. You have to eat like a pregnant woman. You have to kick back. And you've got to reach deep and take the time to develop relationship with food. If you did nothing for your health, but learn to enjoy your food, like a chef cultivates chefdom. Yes, you have the time to do that. If you do nothing else, you'll go way ahead. The enteric nervous system, the brain-gut connection. Tomorrow morning, when you awaken, eat one food and listen to your body. For lunch, eat one food and listen to your body. And give it three reviews: green light, yellow light, and red light. Green light means you feel good. Red light means you feel bad. Do that every day for 1 month with one food per meal, nothing more. And if you just do that, you'll begin to heal. It isn't that complicated. You just got to have the right perspective. And that's what this show is about, right perspective. We'll see you next week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We're signing off. Ta-ta.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.